This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
In the air, center field, playable for Brenton Doyle. And the Astros are going to drop this one to the Colorado Rockies, 6-1. Astros strand 11 compared to 2 left on for the Rockies. Colorado with 4 runs in the third, all unearned runs, and 2 more in the fifth. Win the opener of this 3-game series and the opener of a 10-game homestand by the final of 6-1.
Good, you know, the walks, he saw a ton of pitches, a couple of plays in left. He judged that it was a high fly ball. He judged the wall really well and make that play on a deep fly ball. So, but he was moving around pretty well.
Okay. That still tickles me that Joe Espada is pointing out. He's talking about Yordan Alvarez, who started in left field and had, I think, 4 plate appearances last night, 2 walks, 0 for 2 at the plate, that he points out in great detail how well he's moving in left field, having missed the last nearly 4 months with a hand injury. Like,
right. Well, and then meanwhile, when asked about his hand injury himself, whether there was still pain, Yordan Alvarez, as Chandler Rome points out, didn't say no. Yeah. Chandler asked on Tuesday whether he will have to manage any hand pain for the final 5 weeks of the season. Alvarez replied, "Right now I'm here. I feel like that's a good signal, something good to show. It says a lot that I'm active for tonight, and it justifies everything I've been going through." Yeah. Absent from that answer is a no. So good job to Chandler Rome for pointing that out. I think it's reasonable to think, yeah, whatever is going on with his hand, we're not 100% guaranteed that it's not still affecting him or bothering him.
Yeah, so, yeah. We had been kind of forewarned about that a month or so ago. Like, hey, the version of Yordan that we get back may still be dealing with some things. And maybe he is. I always, too, Seth, keep like 5% hope open that when we get an answer we don't like from any of the Latin American players that use a translator, that something got lost in translation. That there was somewhere that got missed because you're injecting a middleman into the situation.
My Spanish isn't as good as I would like it to be, but I'm pretty good at picking out no.
That's true.
I didn't need a translator in this instance.
Yeah, the Rafael Devers time. Yeah, yeah. No.
No. No, no, I knew exactly what he was talking about.
Yeah, no. So Astros lose last night 6-1. Just a bad night all the way around.
There was the stat that showed up that it was either Kawahara or Chandler Rome that pointed this out. It kind of crept up on us because remember one of the points of emphasis during spring training was let's get back to being those Astros who had incredible judgment at the plate.
Yeah, selective.
These competitive at-bats. And now here we sit with a few games left in the season, and the Astros see the fewest pitches per plate appearance of anybody else in the majors.
Yeah, they're back to their old ways.
Yeah. And that's it's frustrating, But it's especially frustrating when that's what you're doing versus one of the worst teams in the history of baseball in the Colorado Rockies. That's it's just, man, you are somehow maintaining this lead in the division by virtue of the Mariners having zero clutchness to them. And that's not the way I want to be maintaining the lead in the division.
The wild thing, too, is the Rangers haven't really been able to creep into the mix either. Like, with both the Astros and the Mariners being bad over the last few weeks, you would think the Rangers would make up some ground, but not last I checked. So, the Astros lose last night. Fromber on the mound tonight, so everything's going to be just fine. Don't worry about it, everybody. We've got Fromber out there. Yeah,
it will be.
Okay, Fromber, good.
Look, we know Fromber every now and then. He just goes through this, and he whips it back around.
Yeah.
I wish you had never done this.
What?
You called it senioritis because he's going into free agency this year. Yep. And just like high school students kind of lose some focus in that final semester of their senior year, it feels like maybe Fromber has just lost a little bit of focus somehow.
It's totally what it feels like. He's not backing up home plate. He's letting the pitch clock run out. Like
what if the text messages from his sports psychologist are just a long row of on the left down, like unresponded to?
Oh, he's
a lot of white space on these text messages.
I don't know, man. Maybe. Okay, we got a few of these texts. Tight end, gentlemen. What the hell? You skipped over that group. That's a whole conversation. They only kept two, especially considering that Nick Caley is a former tight ends coach. There's another text. Did I miss y'all discussing tight end? We only kept two. There's a few more of these.
Right.
On there.
Okay. No, we discussed it, but I think it's okay. This is where, yes, we should have discussed it more, obviously, based on the response of people demanding it. This is the thing. I think that, you watch the way Nick Caley operates. Hey, he's a tight ends coach. You know, this is probably going to be a team that plays a bunch of tight ends, et cetera, et cetera. I think the one thing you have to remember is that Nick Caley himself has been telling us ad nauseum, this scheme is going to be whatever we think the players are good at doing. And you don't just shoehorn players that you don't think are great players onto a roster because you want to run a certain type of offense. I think there's a really good chance that if Irv Smith was healthy, he'd be on this roster right now. Mm-hmm. That would have been your third tight end. But the guys that they got rid of or had a chance to look at or whatever, I think Luke Lachey will probably be on the practice squad.
I agree.
But they don't think he's ready yet. That it's as simple as that. They've got two tight ends that are healthy that they feel good about, and that it's Dalton Schultz and it's Cade Stover.
Yeah.
The third guy, it might be somebody that they pick up at some point. It might be at some point if there's an injury, maybe they feel all right about Luke Lachey or they'll bring him on. But I like that they're not trying to shoehorn guys in. Same thing with Jakob Johnson. Look, they'd love to have a fullback and a guy that's a proven fullback who's got a lot of experience at it. But if you don't feel awesome about the guy performing the duties of a fullback, you don't keep him on the roster just because you have to have a fullback.
That's right.
So it is notable that they only have two tight ends. And even whether you're going to be tight end heavy or not, you should have a third tight end because of injuries.
Yep.
That's where I think I'll be surprised if there's not three tight ends on the roster on opening day
or
within the first couple weeks of the beginning of the season.
I think by week one, for sure. I don't think they go into week one with two tight ends on the roster, just put it that way. I would also say, too, to the texter that is bringing up Nick Caley's background as a reason for surprise, there's only two tight ends.
Yeah.
To me, that creates a dynamic that Nick Caley, who's been around Rob Gronkowski up in New England, has been around other good tight ends, might be choosier about who is on this roster as a tight end right now.
No, and exactly. I think whenever you bring up the background, okay, let's look at the background. Let's look at the Patriots. Let's look at the Rams. There is no Patriots offense. There is no Rams offense with those two head coaches, with Belichick or with McVay. Their offenses have been very much about adapting to the talent they have on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I 100% like. We had a guy in Bobby Slowick that was going to run his offense come hell or high water, whether it was suited to his players or not. And that, I don't like that as a way of operating in the modern NFL. When Sean McVay first got to the Rams, he was going to be a heavy tight end usage guy. But he looked at his roster and he thought, "Wow, we've got more receivers than tight ends. We're going to be in three wide receivers a lot. the Patriots were constantly changing. Yeah, when you've got Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez before he was arrested on your team,
yeah,
we're going to use those guys. Yeah. We're going to be a heavy tight end offense.
John Harris brought this up on Texans All Access last night when I was listening in my car, and he said that I'm curious what you think of this point, that, yeah, he and Mark were going through the 53, and they highlighted the fact there's only two tight ends. Johnny brought up the possibility that maybe Cam Robinson's role on this team to start out, since it appears as though he's not going to be the starting left tackle, would be that Cam Robinson is the 74 checks in as eligible guy, and that becomes your that becomes your third tight end. When you need to go into some heavy sets, that becomes your third tight end.
Right, yeah, which obviously it's dicey because you become more predictable. But the Lions have had success with that. Various other teams, when they decide to go that way, then it all becomes then what it turns into is, okay, the defense is going to be loaded up and geared up versus the run. They don't have as many viable wide receivers to worry about.
Yeah.
Can you actually impose your will physically?
That's right.
I mean, we saw this a lot with, I think at times with Bill O'Brien, there were times where, oh, who was the guy they would always bring in as the
Kendall Lamb. It was Kendall Lamb for a while, yeah.
And you're like, all right, great. I mean, yeah, you got more bulk out there, but none of these guys really seem hell-bent on destroying somebody physically.
No.
And it felt like you were weakening your team when he did that.
Yep.
I think that I think that's a really good point by John.
Yeah.
You might see some of those early on, and they'll see how it goes. And if you can impose your will, then by all means do it. But that's the first prerequisite. You can't just expect that because you've got a bigger body in there that you're going to run all over people.
Someone says on the text page, I've always viewed Justin Watson as a pseudo tight end in Kansas City. I want to say he even lined up at tight end. Am I wrong? I always would get him and Noah Gray mixed up from time to time.
Well, a lot of guys, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of time. I mean, they'll line up, you know, slot receivers at tight end at times. It just, again, it's kind of like same thing with bringing in a sixth offensive lineman. Are you actually effective when you do that?
Yep.
And 100%, yeah, like bringing in Justin Watson down into the core to block and everything. The Texans had a play. One of their few tackles for a loss in the preseason was Cornell Brown came down to crack block the defensive end last week against the Lions. Poor Cornell. Not Cornell Brown. Cornell Powell.
Cornell Powell.
Yeah, boy, he got destroyed. He just got destroyed.
A for effort.
Oh, no, A for effort. He'd been on the team for about 36 hours.
Yeah.
And they're asking him to come down and crack down on it was a big dude, too.
Yeah.
And the defensive end saw it coming. He anticipated it. The only way it works is if you've got a defensive end who's unaware and you can get him in the ribs or something.
The element of surprise.
There was nothing. Right at the snap, the defensive end turned to Cornell Powell, and that's when the battle was lost.
Blammo.
And then he just bulldozed him out to, I think it might have been Woody Marks, I don't know. Is the guy actually good at doing it? And I think, it's a really good point by the texter. I think first and foremost, I like it when offense says, look, we're not trying to keep a certain number of players on the roster because we want to use all these guys. We want to have the best guys on the roster. And then no matter whether you're tight end heavy or not, you'd like to have a third tight end.
Sure.
They're gonna take care of that at some point.
I think so, too. Here was C.J. Stroud, as long as we're talking about the offense. C.J. Stroud on First Take when Stephen A. Smith asked him, hey, how's that offensive line? They're going to do a better job protecting you this year.
Did you bribe them? What is it that you did in the offseason to get them to make sure you don't get sacked 52 times this upcoming season like you did last year? Because, damn it, what are you supposed to do if you're not protected? How do you feel about your offensive line this year?
I feel great. I think, you know, we brought in a lot of great pieces. Of course, we know we traded Laramie, but I feel like we brought in a rookie who is hungry, wants to get better, is doing great in camp. Titus is back at tackle. He looks great. So we got a lot of good pieces, man, and versatile. We're young. We have a new scheme. I think that had to do a lot with it last year. Was like, we got to be able to get rid of the ball, move the pocket, like help those guys out. Everything can't just be drop back pass. We play action. So that's running the ball. So there's ways we can help those guys out. And by me, I got to do a better job of getting the ball out when it's necessary. So it's not just on them, it's on me as well. So I think we're doing a great job by setting that foundation in camp. And I'm excited, man. Our O-line looks great.
CJ did a good job there at the very end of like, okay, I got to make sure I take some of this blame for right. the well, shade I just threw at the 2024 yeah. play calling.
And it's a, no, and it's legitimate too when he's talking about making it easier on the offensive line. There were times last year where in game situations where he really should have just taken the easy 5-yard reception mm-hmm. and whatever run after catch you get, where he turned it down and was kind of waiting for stuff to develop downfield. Well, he had 5-man pass protection in front of him. Like that's not an offensive line last year that you want to do it with, and you're making it harder on him. So it's a lot of things that you need to make it easier on the offensive line. But a big part of it, you know, about once a week, somebody will say, hey, Seth, can't they just use the pass to set up the run? Because we hear a lot of establish the run. So people say, well, can't you use the pass to establish the run, to set up the run? Yes, ideally, theoretically, that's what last year should have been. Yeah. Teams were all but inviting the Texans to run the ball. They were just awful at it.
Yep.
They couldn't do it. Teams were specifically lining up in defenses where they're almost conceding the run, but they managed to shut the run down.
Yeah.
That was the problem of last year. Like, they had already set up the run with the pass without even taking a snap, because defenses are out there and they're saying, okay, we got Nico Collins, we got Stephon Diggs, we got Tank Dell. Let's just be sure we limit the deep ball and then play everything in front of us. And the Texans couldn't do squat with it. Mm-hmm. And Bobby Slowick, for the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, acted like he was still surprised that that's what he was seeing.
Dude.
Like, huh. Huh, it turns out defenses are trying to take away these receivers. It's weird. What's to be done about it?
Remember the Titans game they lost at home, I think in week 12, where the Titans linebackers were totally cheating the entire game?
Like, they were just hanging out, waiting.
Standing there waiting.
yeah. Or if it was a run to the outside, they'd barely move. They'd be like, nah, this is getting turned back.
Yeah.
Because especially like with Laremy Tunsil trying to run that scheme last year, Laremy Tunsil would just... You know, in his own running scheme, there's times where you got to make a decision whether you try to reach block your guy, like overtake him, or just wheel on him and wash him out. Guess what Laremy chose as often as possible as a run blocker? The path of least resistance.
Of course.
I'll just let this defensive end get upfield.
Yeah.
And linebackers are like, okay, cool. It's a run to my right. Yeah, this ball's coming back to me. I'll just sit here and wait. And meanwhile, check to be sure that's not play action and all of that.
Hey, what's around your neck? What did you put?
Oh, that's my my finisher medal. It's a middle-aged white man version of a participant trophy for running a 50-mile ultra marathon, shuffling a 50-mile ultra marathon.
You got a participation medal for that? A finisher?
Not a finisher.
Oh, sorry, you finished.
You don't get one if you don't finish.
You finished.
25% of people that enter don't finish the race.
Now, for those who don't know, why exactly are you flexing with that?
Because Clint apparently won't shut up about how fat I used to be and how that's why he knows for sure he can beat me in a 1-mile race. Because I used to be heavier than I was right now.
You're 10 pounds heavier than him right now.
Well, specifically being paid to be that heavy.
Right.
It wasn't because I couldn't put down the pancakes, you know? Yes, I eat pancakes with my hands, but that's neither here nor there.
Right.
Now I do it to carbo load.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Do you have any other accolades hanging on the wall there?
This was in a shoebox. This is after I came. This was one segment after me talking about how a lot of times I'll throw away awards because I just don't think about them all that much.
Yeah.
I was like, oh wait, I still have my participation trophy.
Your finisher.
It was in a shoebox full of medals that my wife had.
Full of medals, huh?
Yeah.
You got a lot of medals in that box over there.
My mom gave me a bunch of stuff when I was
Stuff you won when you were younger.
She finally turned my bedroom into something else.
So are you wearing that to tell Clint? To show him what's
I'm just
up.
So watching him. I might wear it when I beat him in the mile.
Yeah.
3 months from now.
Yeah.
I already have my training plan printed out for how I'm going to train to.
I love that. You're excited to turn this into something here, it sounds
I'm
like.
Shooting for a 7-minute mile. Yeah.
I think that's aggressive.
A realistic one.
Yeah.
I haven't run in a couple of years. Frankly, I don't think my knee is ready for it. And but I'm willing to take a cortisone shot or seven. And I'm also going to do an interval heavy based training program. I can't log a lot of miles,
oh my God.
But I can do some sprints and stuff and some tempo runs
to
get ready for it.
I got to see this. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Nick Caserio press conference coming up at the top of the hour, 9 a.m. We'll carry it live here on Sports Radio 610. Hey, speaking of the Rams, Nick Caley's former team, update on probably the biggest story for the week one matchup between the Texans and the Rams. We got one from the Rams side of things earlier this week. What does it mean for week one for the Texans, which is only 10 days away? That's coming up next.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option. That's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
And Sean McVay interviewed earlier this week and was asked about the status of Matthew Stafford, his quarterback, who's been dealing with a back issue throughout training camp. He was delayed in getting started working out for the team, reportedly had been taking epidurals for this back issue. What is the status of Matthew Stafford?
It's going to be the same answer. Yeah, I mean, like, and I mean that too. Like, I mean, he's doing great. He's 100% participant. He's doing a heck of a job, you know, taking care of himself with a lot of different things. As soon as we get off the grass, he and Reggie have a great plan. But, you know, I can't see into the future, but I certainly, you know, if you look at what the last week has entailed, feel really good. And there's nothing that would lead me to believe, unless we have an unforeseen setback, that he's not going to be ready to roll against the Texans.
I can't wait for this game, because I think Matthew Stafford is at the very least going to be rusty coming into this game.
Right. Well, and the Rams in general are rusty to start out the season. That's a running issue with LA fans, is, hey, these guys don't play their starters in the preseason. They seem to be very much about injury prevention and preservation, and they get off the slow starts. So now you've got a quarterback who might as well be preparing to birth a child, what with his epidurals and everything.
Yes.
Because he's getting ready to either play a season or give birth. That's what we know about his medical regimen right now.
Yeah.
That I think Puka Nacua, obviously you respect him. Davante Adams. Texans damn well know they need to respect Davante Adams. After Aaron Rodgers looked like the all-pro version of himself throwing the ball to Davante Adams with the Jets last year. So they've got some. They've got like Matt Stafford, depending on how healthy he is. Puka Nacua, Devontae Adams, Atwell, like all these guys going up against a really good secondary.
Yeah.
I'm amped up for this game, but I'm especially excited that Matt Stafford might not. He might be in a wheelchair by the time this game begins.
Yeah, I'm excited for that Texans defensive front to look like it did in the. At practice, you know, against the Texans offense, you know, watch Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter get after it. That's funny with the epidurals. Like Matt Stafford, I'm just, after you said that, I'm like, Matthew Stafford has gone into the tent. What's the problem? His water broke.
His water broke. He's a big guy. He's birthing an 11-pound baby. This is hard.
You got to go inside that tent. Here's Sean McVay. Talking about Matthew Stafford, maybe not as many physical reps in camp this year, more mental reps.
With Matthew, I think that served him well. You know, you get some time with, you know, your family and, you know, the beautiful little girls, you know, more than you would otherwise. But I think just to keep him feeling like, hey, man, it's fun, it's engaging. He loves being out here practicing and competing. And then, you know, does he need to hear, you know, some of our standard 2x2 formations at the beginning? No, he doesn't need to know that. He doesn't need to be there for those kind of things. And so picking and choosing our spots, you know, that was part of the plan. Obviously, it kind of organically unfolded, maybe a little later than we anticipated. But I think he is having a lot of fun. I think he's enjoying it. And sometimes that absence, you can really have an appropriate perspective of how much you love doing this stuff. And that's what I felt from him, you know, the last week and a half.
They're going to kill this guy. They're going to kill this guy in week one.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Yeah. That's what you're looking for right there. Oh, I remember the love of the guy. Ow! Ow!
Yeah.
Oh, my back.
As soon as he said... Well, it's good for him. He gets to spend some more time with his beautiful four little girls. I'm like, oh, that's it. That's it. He's spending time with the family. Does not have the appropriate amount of delusion and hyper-focus that a quarterback needs.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. It sounds like he's got some perspective on life.
Nope,
got a needle in his back.
Yep.
And meanwhile, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson are going to be trying to make his life miserable.
Yes.
No, I'd say by the end of the first quarter, he's like, I'm coming for you, Kelly. You're going to be pulling a Fred Sanford out there.
And in comes Jimmy G.
Limping off to the sideline. I'll be home for dinner, Kelly.
This is the big one. Oh, man. One more from Sean McVay, who apparently was getting peppered with Matthew Stafford questions. He reiterates he's being 100% participant.
Yeah, you know, we adjusted that plan a little bit just based on him getting out there last week. And so we naturally kind of have a 4-week or a 4-day block anyways where you're kind of deloaded on that third day. So he's been a full participant really in everything. He's been able to, you know, feel good, you know, each of the next mornings. And so we'll continue on with that. And then, you know, we'll see what the in-season approach entails.
Yeah, text message. Like a couple good hits and he's hindered in this game. That's how I feel
like,
about it.
I mean, you think about guys that think about guys that have back issues in basketball, especially because we have an intimate experience in that, going back to Tracy McGrady.
Yep.
You never can tell. Or anybody listening who has back issues like that with a pinched nerve or herniated disc or anything, you don't know when it's going to come and hit you. But usually it comes and grabs you doing something less violent than getting tackled or sacked in a football game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's anybody's guess as to how long he holds up. But I think at some point, I wouldn't be optimistic at Matt Stafford playing 17 games this season. Is it going to rear its ugly head before or during this football game?
Well, this is, you know, I would say that a lot's been made in that game, and I'm just checking to see what the line is on the game. Rams are a 2.5-point favorite, so the line has not moved very much since the schedule was released in May when Matthew Stafford's back issues weren't even a news item. So Vegas right now is kind of believing what we're hearing from Sean McVay there. So we made a lot about the Texans and this new offensive line having to go against this Rams defensive line, which is very, very good.
Yeah, yeah.
It might be a bigger task on the other side for the Rams offensive line, given the fact that Matthew Stafford's got no mobility, I'm guessing, to go up against what DeMeco Ryans is going to throw at him. This is an under game for me. I think this feels like a 20-17, a 17-14 kind of game, unless the two defenses or one of the defenses or both force a bunch of turnovers that create a lot of short fields. This does not feel like a game where one of these two offenses is going to come out of this thing with 450 yards of offense.
Well, they were the Rams, though. Their defense wasn't all that great last year. Their run defense really wasn't dependable.
Yeah.
But they have a really good young front seven.
Yeah.
So I think their run defense will be improved.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to just if the Texans are indeed a good rushing football team, that's going to be a problem for the Rams.
Yeah.
I think the Texans, if you're talking about how the odds makers might view it, odds makers and anybody else that wasn't out there at training camp would say the Texans don't have a good rushing offense and they got rid of their best offensive lineman and Joe Mixon is injured. How is this going to be better than they were last year? Yeah. They might even be worse than they were as a rushing offense, which was already bad. I think that I'm not saying they're going to be a great rushing offense, but I think they're going to be better than they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to allow CJ Stroud. And I think in pass protection, they'll be much better.
Yeah.
I really do. Just by the way they're operating, what they're doing to make it easier for the offensive line, the way the offensive line is working cohesively right now, and C.J. Stroud having more control at the line of scrimmage, I think they're going to be better in pass protection. So just strictly as objectively as possible, I think the line is a little too flavored by or skewed by an expected offensive misery by the Texans this year.
They've not improved from last year.
Yeah. I think the Texans are going to be better offensively. I don't know what their ceiling is, but they're going to be better. That's where I think in these early games, I think the Texans are probably a little bit more underdog than they should be.
Yeah, I'm picking them to win the game. I just don't think it's going to be the total on the game is 44.5, which means they're expecting it to be 24-21. And that feels a little high scoring for these two teams early in this. With a new offense being implemented for the Texans and a hindered Matthew Stafford going against a very good defense for the Texans and I think a defense for the Rams that maybe is not a great matchup for a first game for a new offensive line.
You know, Jimmy Garoppolo is their backup quarterback, and I was getting really excited about the prospect of this defense facing Jimmy Garoppolo. Sean, let me tell you, if I was excited about that, what do you think my heart rate does when I start thinking about the prospect of Matt Stafford getting these next 2 weeks of game prep for the Texans, and then 6 minutes into the game, Jimmy Garoppolo coming in without having gotten all of the reps and the prep for the Texans? Yeah.
It's fun. I get what you're saying. Garoppolo does feel like one of those guys, though, that you just throw him in and there's a – He's you just shake the magic eight ball to see what the answer is,
And he might be better off with zero preparation than with actual
Don't
preparation.
Think it can only hurt the ball club.
Don't give him time to screw it up by thinking about it.
Yeah. Like, intuitively, your point makes a lot of sense, but it's Jimmy G.
No, he just,
found his way into a Super Bowl,
He just throws the ball up, man. Yeah. I think versus this particular defense, it's a bad recipe.
Yep, you're right. You're right. We're getting a lot of texts on this about Matthew Stafford. I've had a herniated disc and had to get it surgically repaired twice. Once you have back problems, they don't go away ever, the texter says.
Well, and especially, I mean, we've got examples. Carlos Correa had back issues and he fixed it.
Yeah.
But he was a young man when he changed his routine and figured out how to fix it. I mean, the man had his ribs broken on a massage table. That's how committed he was
allegedly
to figuring out his physiological issues.
Yep.
The courage he showed in that bogus story moment. Yes.
Is that video still out? That video's got to be still out there, right? The video he did on his wife's YouTube channel where he lifted his shirt up to show where the rib was that got snapped. Like, I'm like, what are we doing?
I think that all that aside, when it's different when it's an aging athlete and that you've got these issues, that's the last thing I want to hear out of an older quarterback, I think, is, oh, he's got a herniated disc.
Yeah.
Don't worry, he'll be fine.
Yep.
How old is Stafford now? 37 years old.
Yeah. He's an older quarterback, man. Don't forget, this is a text message. Don't forget Aziz making Stafford's life hell.
Ooh,
that'd be fun. Yeah. Stafford decides
Aziz
to
and,
scramble and blammo.
Aziz in the second game, he showed discretion, Sean.
I know.
Yeah, he could have really blasted the quarterback, and he just laid off at the last moment. Good for you.
Yeah, we need him out there. That's true. It's don't dial it back, though, Aziz. I mean, still bring the lumber, all right?
You just got to dial it back 1/32nd of a second sooner than he might otherwise.
Yeah. Text message, a Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter sandwich. Yeah, that would be good. Just popping Matthew Stafford like a zit. That
and then
would be great.
And then one of them needs to just kind of go Clubber Lang and like start flirting with Kelly Stafford. You know, like, yes. You need a real man. You want to, yes. You know, what's this Clubber Lang say to?
Hey, Adrian? Woman. Hey, woman. Yeah. I bet you go to bed every night wishing you had a real man.
Yeah, that's got to be Will.
Yeah.
Look at this. You're stuck with this cripple. Stafford's laying on the ground like a guy on the Family Guy after he falls out of a window, just all arms all twisted
oh,
up.
Oh, man. All right, Payne and Pendergast. Nick Caserio, press conference, top of the hour. Nick will answer all the questions. How many questions in before he gets asked about Joe Mixon, Seth? Is that the first question? Joe Mixon, do you think?
Oh, D'Amico's already been asked twice about Joe Mixon.
But now, he was asked before they officially put him on the NFI list here.
First question will likely be about Joe Mixon. I think so too.
And
then one of the first three will probably be about Graham Mertz.
Yes.
Because, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, third string quarterback gets more clicks than just about anybody else any position.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And you'll get two college fan bases clicking on it too, because he went to Wisconsin and Florida. That's the key too. Mm-hmm. You get the colleges they went to. You get them
neither of those colleges feeling all that passionate about him. Maybe not.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. The Athletic did their 25 best players under the age of 25. Who made it from the Texans? The others worth discussing on here though have some serious Texans angles. Not only big picture, but for the upcoming season, we'll have that for you coming up next. But first, got to mention our first college football watch party coming up this Saturday at Boomer Jackson, Katy, 1110 Grand West Boulevard in Katy. Party starts at 11. Watch the games. Ice cold flight by Yingling. Root for your favorite team. We're going to have some great prizes from Yingling to give away. See you out there at Boomer Jackson in Katy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Hey, woman. Listen here. Since your old man ain't got no heart, maybe you'd like to see a real man. I bet you stay up late every night dreaming you had a real man, don't you? I tell you what, bring your pretty little self over to my apartment tonight, and I'll show you a real man.
You want it? You get it.
See, so that is the dream scenario. The dream scenario of week one, as dreamed up by Seth Payne.
Will Anderson yelling at Kelly Stafford over the mangled corpse of her former husband.
Yes. Hey, woman. That was from Rocky 3.
Who flips out there? Polly flips out.
No. That was Rocky flipping out.
Rocky does flip out.
Yeah, because he showed up. They were dedicating the statue that still sits outside the museum in Philadelphia to this day. They were dedicating it, and Rocky was giving a speech to all the people there, and that's when Clubber Lang, played by Mr. T, walked up and interrupted the festivities there.
Didn't they move? I think they moved the Rocky statue.
They did. Yeah, they sure did. Yeah.
No, oh, now it's at the Museum of Art now. Yeah. Oh, and then it's Spectrum, then back to the museum. Okay.
Yeah.
So it was moved a few times, but now it's at the museum.
I went to Philly, which was like 2 years ago, it was at the museum. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So, because I had to get my picture taken in front of it, man. So, so Will Anderson, yes, that's the dream scenario right there, people. That's what we're rooting for. Will Anderson, Derek Stingley Jr., C.J. Stroud, all named to the Athletics 25 best players under the age of 25, as determined by nearly two dozen scouts, coaches, and front office types. C.J. Stroud, 8th. Derek Stingley Jr., 12th. Will Anderson, 21st. A little disrespectful to Will Anderson, I think, at 21 right there. A little bit. A little disrespectful, I would say, on this thing. So
if you look at the defensive linemen who are above him, is Jalen Carter the only defensive lineman above him on that list?
Jalen Carter is second on the list. So he's ahead of almost everybody.
If you had to ask me, okay, which guy is still going to be producing 10 years from now in the NFL for the team that he's on, I would take Will Anderson at extremely certain odds on that.
Why?
One. Jalen Carter is just not. In terms of, he doesn't have the same Will Anderson type of drive and maturity.
I was going to say, I think I know the answer, but I want to hear you say
it. Yeah. No, he's very, very impressive, but I think all the things that you feel really, there's a reason Jalen Carter wasn't as drafted as high as he should have been, you know? So I think whereas Will Anderson, he's the exact opposite when it comes to concerns over just how his approach to life.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think there's some interesting names, just kind of, you know, you run your finger down the list here. Jalen Carter at 2. Drafted in the same draft as C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. You and I had this discussion, I think, when another list came out like this maybe a month or two ago. Like, would the Texans have been better off trading up 3 spots for Jalen Carter because he went 9th or trading up the 9 spots they did to get Will Anderson? And I think you and I both circled back to kind of some variation of what you just said, which is I just trust Will Anderson more long-term than Jalen Carter.
I trust him more long-term, but also he's on the field more. He has more of an impact on downs in the game than a defensive tackle does. Yeah.
Number 5 on this list, Brock Bowers. Vindication for Sean T. Pendergast, who wanted the Texans to trade up to get Brock Bowers last year. Mm-hmm. And Brock Bowers has been amazing. It's actually
if they had Brock Bowers and Cade Stover, let's say they had drafted Cade Stover as well, then I think there'd be 3 tight ends on the roster right now.
Because
people are saying, how come there's only 2 tight ends? What the hell? I thought this was going to be a tight end heavy offense. I think if Irv Smith were healthy, there's a good chance he'd be on the roster.
Yeah.
When Irv Smith gets injured and goes on IR, I think that they look at everybody else and they think, no, we don't think they're as good as we've got 53 other players that are better football players than whichever Harrison Bryant or Luke Lachey. So we'll figure out the tight end, the third string tight end thing at some point. But right now we want to be sure we have the 53 best guys on the roster.
Kyle Hamilton's 9th on this list, and we've beaten the Kyle Hamilton thing.
Is he above Kenyon Green?
He's above Kenyon Green. Yeah, Kenyon Green is 25 under 25. If they expanded it to 2,500 under 25, Kenyon might make the list. But yeah. Kyle Hamilton.
You know, big losers in the Kenyon Green being released from the Eagles were the people who wanted to blame the offensive line coach last year for Kenyon Green not being good.
Yeah.
Maybe that was, hey, 2 things can be true. that maybe Chris Strasser wasn't getting the most out of Kenyon Green, but when Kenyon Green goes up to Philadelphia and he plays for the one of the best offensive line coaches this century, you kind of lose the benefit of the doubt there on whether coaching was the issue or not.
If I'm not mistaken, there was at least one relative of Kenyon Green that had issue with Chris Strasser.
Ah, that relative's get a pass.
It's okay, gotcha. Okay, let me ask you this, and we're going through the Athletic's 25 best players under the age of 25, kind of looking at it through a Texans lens. Bijan Robinson is 11, Jahmyr Gibbs is 14. Both were first-round picks as running backs. Bijan, I think, was the 7th overall pick or something like that in his draft, maybe 8th, something like that. He's a top 10 pick, and Jahmyr Gibbs was picked 12th in his draft class. Are the Texans at the stage now where they should be looking at a first-round running back? Next year, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Should they be one of these?
Good question.
Because the first-round running back dynamic has started to work out a little bit better for teams.
The pendulum's swinging back the other way. You got a whole lot of defenses that are loaded up to stop the pass, and teams are remembering and realizing, oh, yeah, the run game is actually a thing.
Yep.
You can win a Super Bowl riding or an awesome running back performance these days. So, I certainly wouldn't put it. I mean, you can draft – Even in the heyday of disregarding running backs, I think that there are lots of good teams that drafted running backs in the first round, but it's usually at the back end of the first round.
Yes.
Yeah, my appetite is as strong as ever for drafting a running back in the first 15 picks.
To me, Seth, drafting a running back high is more about where the team is in their arc.
Yeah.
You know, like when the Giants drafted Saquon with the number 2 pick, that was stupid because they needed so many other things that you were going to burn. There's no position that has more of a definitive odometer than the running back position. If you're a bad team drafting a running back with a high pick, you're probably, in all likelihood, going to burn at least 2 years, probably with him running behind a bad offensive line, before the need for a running back becomes a primary thing. I think the Texans are at their building stage now, and especially if you're going to give CJ and Will big contracts, you might need a running back. You know, you might need rookie contracts playing at that position.
You're just like trying to butter your toast while it's still dough. If you draft a running back too early, you're like, all right. I mean, it might improve the overall recipe, but it's not. No, this is the wrong step in the process.
Yes.
I want a nice glaze of butter over the top of it.
That is beautiful. Okay, a couple more here. Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean show up on the radar here. Quinyon Mitchell's number 15. Cooper DeJean is honorable mention. No mention of Kamari Lassiter anywhere. Who we know
what
is under
hell?
25. I know. Disrespect.
I'll tell you what. The disrespect they show our cornerbacks, our young cornerback and Kamari Lassiter. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it.
Thank you, Bill.
I'm tired of everybody being so married to their damn draft evaluations that they just don't see what's right in front of their face. You know?
Yeah.
You're chasing the homecoming queen. She's a slut. No, the one you were looking for is right there. Let his hair down. You know, take off his glasses.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
He's standing right there in front of you.
You couldn't have said it any better.
And you refused to see him.
Yeah, I took the words right out of my mouth. The prom queen's a slut. Yes.
Isn't she always?
For the most part, yeah. Sorry. If you're listening and you were a prom queen, we're not talking about you.
No, Brandy's going to be pissed because she was.
She was prom queen.
Yeah. Right. See me strutting into the Portville Central School 25th year reunion with the homecoming queen on my arm.
Right, right.
Hey, what are you whispering about over there in the corner,
and
fella?
And seven guys looking at her. Yeah. All right, we got to get out. Nick Caserio's press conference. The Texans GM.
She was pure as the driven snow.
The Texans GM. I believe you. The Texans GM, Executive Vice President and GM, Nick Caserio, meets with the media. Talking about the roster cutdowns coming up next. We'll carry it live here on Sports Radio 610.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast.
Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.